going on, y'all, and thank you so very, very much for joining us here today on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and right across the table from me, the fellow that was as mad about the humidity as I was, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, it is very humid.
I hate humidity.
I hate hailstorms.
That's coming.
All three vehicles of mine got beat up in a hailstorm.
Yep.
Broken windshields, everything.
We only lost one windshield.
Man.
Luckily, we only lost one windshield, folks. Yeah, that's right. Hail. We got a lot of it. Racquetball size, maybe tennis ball.
Yeah.
It's about tennis ball size. Craziest thing about this hailstorm, it lasted for 30 minutes.
Yeah, usually that's quick, right?
Five or six minutes. Less than 10
this
normally.
This was sustained.
30 minutes, anywhere from pieces, I would say gumball size, maybe pea size, all the way up to that big. So, yeah, that was really interesting the other day. Good thing we got everything wrapped up.
Been having a lot of storms. Don't forget, I had to do a part of the outro from the F-250.
Yeah.
Because...
No power.
I'm pretty sure my roof is toasted, too.
I got up and looked at mine, and we just got ours replaced like 3 years ago. So it actually looks really good. But I got a buddy of mine that's going to come over and run around on the top of it.
I'm going to wait till after the storm season's over. There's no point in having a new one put on than just beat up again.
And as many as it's going on around here, there ain't no way you could get to it. There are roofers. I've seen more windshield repair guys in the last 5 days than I think I've seen my entire life.
The most disappointing thing is because, the insurance
here
will fix the car is the garden.
About 50% of tomatoes that survived.
Oh, yeah. I got about 50%.
Okay.
But 50% got destroyed.
Well, that's why you plant so many.
That's right. Yeah. So I was bummed about that. Man, it's just been wild. And then we went out to Area 52.
Yep. Did some interviews. Had some good times.
Had some good times hanging out and spotting and stuff. And got a whole new ideas.
Oh, yeah.
About how I'm going to be changing things up before the next hunting season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Funny,
yeah.
I had an epiphany.
Yeah. Oh, should we tell them about what we're working on?
Sure.
The book is nearing completion, folks.
That's right. Yeah.
The book should
be done soon.
Will be done very soon, and they will be available probably who knows where.
I'm sure everywhere.
Probably
Amazon,
everywhere.
Everything.
Yeah. So y'all get ready. If you're asking about the book, it's the Glimmer Man book, folks. That's right. Tons of Glimmer Man stuff. Me and Kyle and Mr. Lon from Phantoms and Monsters all got together. We've been sitting around cussing and discussing and piling stories up, going through all of it, and we have quite a few.
Yeah.
There is quite a large number.
Why don't we put them, together?
Yeah.
Why not, right? It's right there in front of you.
So there it is. So if you're interested in Glimmer Man, just like Kyle and I are, there's going to be a book pop out pretty quick. I would say hopefully within the next 60 days or so, but
yeah,
we'll see.
And if you have any Glimmer Man sightings of your own you'd like to share with us, send them in, man, because there might be a part two.
There might be a part two.
Or a revised edition. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly. Well, speaking of all the strange and unusual, I don't have a Glimmer Man story. Sorry. I don't have one to give to you today. Can't lay it on you. But what I do have is for all of our friends up again here in Michigan. Yeah, that's right. In a Michigan lake at Holland, there's something that was seen there. And this
happened in Holland?
This happened at Holland in Michigan Lake. That's what it says. Michigan Lake.
I was thinking of Boss Rootin.
Dude, if you're a lanky humanoid, you don't need to be messing around with Boss Superkick Rootin. Dude, you're going to get liver kicked, your whole lanky. I don't care if you're a humanoid alien and your liver's on the other side of your body. He's going to kick that side, and it's going to hurt all the way across.
He's Dutch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He's so great.
He's great.
Dude, I love that guy. I mean, all of his interviews, all of him. He's just a fun, funny guy. Dude, he's great. But so this is what happened. It says, my two buddies and I, let's just call them AJ and PJ, PJ Mask, decided to go late night fishing. We have some food and just enjoy ourselves. So we drove up to Holland, Michigan, late at night, around 3 or 4 a.m. We got to the place around 5:30 in the morning, got set up under the bridge. Everything's going normal until we moved the spots to the boat launch. We're just casting out, catching some smallies, seaweed. PJ was caught on something big, or so we thought. That wasn't until he pulled it out. PJ pulled out something that looked like an old dirty hospital gown. So we all got confused and weirded out, so we decided to pull it off the hook instead of touching it. And the first thing I noticed was that it started to drift towards the land instead of sinking. So I just shrugged it off. Everything seemed normal until I turned around to put the bait on my hook, looked up, and saw an abnormally tall, white, lanky figure that seemed to have a pointed head with only eyes staring from me. That pointy head thing's got an eye for me. I thought I was just hallucinating because it was early in the morning and I felt tired. Look, I get up early in the morning quite often. I've never hallucinated tall, white, lanky figures. And I hope I don't.
I did. That's why I quit getting up early.
Right? That's, if you do see it, it's a great... Tell your boss you can't be there before 10 because every time you wake up, you hallucinate tall, white, lanky figures. So it says, I thought I was just hallucinating. Everything's good, right? This thing's staring at him, all this. I looked back to make sure, and the next thing I saw was this thing standing. I could feel chills down my spine because I looked below it and saw the gown that we had cut off right there on the ground. Now, I tried to ignore it because I thought I was it was just a resident about to tell us off. And then I hear his PJ telling us, don't freak out, but I think someone's watching us. Now, at that point, I knew what he was talking about. We all started packing up quickly and got out of there. On the drive home, PJ explained to us what he saw. What he explained was the same thing I saw, but it was him walking towards us. I tried to do some research when I got home, but it just ended up as a dead end. The only one news from a man drowning at the boat launch in 2016. The place where we were is called Petey's Bayou Boat Launch, and that night was probably the scariest I've ever experienced. If you could figure out what we saw, it would be highly appreciated. See.
So a guy drowned in that location a couple years prior?
2016, it says, and in this thing they see this. The part with the hospital gown is very unsettling.
The whole thing's unsettling, right? To me, yeah.
And you get it caught up, and they're like, nah, just cut that loose and pitch it out of here. And then it starts floating back towards the water. And then the next thing, this thing's standing on the ground, and the hospital gown's at its feet. So I'm like, what's this? So yeah, it sounds like a pale crawler strolled up out of the water, which, I mean, if you're white and pasty, probably being in the water is the best place to be when it was right before the sun comes up.
Were they on a boat?
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like they were just fishing off the banks. Bank, yeah, yep, just walking the banks, fishing under the bridge, fishing around the boat dock, just having a good time till this thing showed up.
Huh.
Well, so what could it be? Maybe it is a pale crawler. Maybe it's a watcher. I mean, it was watching.
Speaking of, he was just watching a fish.
Just hanging out, man. Throw it a fish already.
It was just, you know, observing your casting technique.
Right?
Want to see how
exactly.
You know. Using top water. What are you guys using? Check this out, Cam. It says, Dear Expanded Perspective.
Hey.
How's it going, guys? I'm Luke B. from Western Kentucky. This is a weird one. I've put this experience on the back burner for way too long.
Is that his rap name?
I guess. He says, I've wanted to get this off my chest for years. It's something that happened in my backyard a few years ago. So here's what went down. It was summertime, 2019. The wife and I had just purchased a new home in a great neighborhood. Our house is located in the very back, so where my backyard ends, the forest begins. There's plenty of room for a decent garden and space for the kids to have a nice place to play. Fast forward a bit, and I've got quite a nice little selection of veggies growing out back, mostly squash, tomatoes, and peppers, and in the very back was a perfect little cabbage patch. Behind the cabbages was a creek, then woods for miles. So this night has had me scratching my head ever since it happened late in the evening and early morning. Had to have been around 1:30 a.m. I had just finished watching TV, and I had to drain the main vein before tucking in for bed. The window in my back bathroom faces the backyard. If the blinds are open, you've got a full view of the garden and the woods. So as I was finishing up, I glanced out into the darkness. I forgot to mention that there's kind of a floodlight on a telephone pole in the corner of the yard, so the area where the cabbages are located is kind of illuminated. You can't make out color per se, but the silhouettes or outlines are very visible. I've seen many a critter messing about out there. Deer, cats, dogs, raccoons, possums, that kind of thing. But what I saw this night, I still cannot explain. First thing that caught my attention was movement behind the tomatoes near the cabbages. That spot wasn't illuminated, but you could just make out a silhouette of something about 2, no more than 3 foot tall, moving up and down in one spot for about 10 seconds, and moving over a few feet and doing the same motion, moving up and down. So as it made its way closer and closer to the brighter spot, I started to make out what I was seeing. I rubbed my eyes a few times and squinted to try and fix my vision, but the image never changed. What I saw was what looked to be a head and torso. The head and torso of a humanoid-type being that looked to be halfway buried from the waist down. But then it moved, so it definitely wasn't a half-buried person. There were no visible legs. It was like half the body was missing. The legs were gone. This thing was using its hands like feet to get around. When it made it just inside the band of light, I could see that what I thought I was seeing was correct. A torso using its arms and hands to move. It was hairless, but not pale, and its head looked to be very misshapen, like one of those watermelons you grow inside of a box, so it takes on that shape. Its arms were very thick. I could make out the size when the light would shine through the space between the arms and torso. Then, by accident, I had my face too close to the screen on the open window, and it made a popping sound. It turned and looked right at me. I couldn't move. I was frozen in place. I didn't know what to do. I'd never been in this situation before. So after a few minutes, felt like a lot longer, I yelled out, "Hey!" It didn't seem to phase it at first, but then, with surprising speed, it darted towards me, stopping near the middle of the yard. Then all of a sudden, it screamed this rough, almost metallic-sounding scream. Kind of like a screech owl. Then it looked back off to the area where it had been before, that when I first noticed it, and it grabbed something off the ground and took off through the creek, dragging it behind.
That's my paper!
You could hear splashes as it went through, the sticks crackling as it started up through the woods. I couldn't believe what I'd just seen. I wanted to go outside with a flashlight and investigate, but honestly, I was spooked. What the hell did I just see? One of the things that came to mind was that movie, Trading Places, with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. The scene where Eddie was pretending to be a war veteran and lost his legs and moved around on the car in a cart. Could a homeless person with no legs be camping out in the woods behind my place and creeping into people's backyards at night stealing the veggies? Highly doubtful. Plus, it doesn't explain the odd-shaped head and the terrible scream. I've never heard anything like it. That morning when the sun came out, I went out to the backyard to investigate. Everything was fine until I got to the cabbages. They were all gone, except for one. Then I thought back to the way the thing was moving up and down and moving over and repeating the process. It was digging up my cabbages. To this day, it's still one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced. Totally dig the show, guys. Keep bringing the strange and mysterious stories coming. LB.
What was that?
I don't know. LB saw some kind of humanoid.
What? But, you know, is this LB from the Hateful Eight?
Despite the screaming and the misshapen head, I guess it is possible for somebody to be missing their legs and be like squatting in the forest back there.
Yeah, but isn't it so much more work to squat in the woods and walk around on your hands than it would be to like squat in town and skateboard around?
Honestly, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. You're not going to come across like stickers and sticks and cactus and all this other stuff walking, crawling up and down like creek banks when you could just be there in town. It sounds to look, if I had to put something on it, either there's really legs there and you just couldn't really tell it. Maybe it's just growing into its adult legs. That's what it's. I keep thinking about, what is it? Deadpool,
right? Oh, yeah.
If it's like that. Or maybe this is some sort of hominid. Let's say it's some sort of deformed or has some sort of issue that was a Bigfoot. And that's the way this thing gets around. And it feeds that way because it's easier for it to feed that way.
Man, what a bizarre sighting.
Right? How crazy of a sighting. And speaking of crazy sightings, I got one okay. that you're really going to like. Now, where this goes is pretty funny. But I think I would definitely be freaked out. But I want you to know. So this takes place in Newtown, Edinburgh, Scotland.
Okay.
So, and it took place late evening in 1990. So let's go all the way back, y'all. Let's jump in the time machine. Roll all the way back to 1990.
I was in the eighth grade.
It's back before Kyle had that big standalone he's got on his upper lip right now, folks. And all this gray, well, what's left of his hair is gray. So here we go. A man named Brian Wilson. Now, instantly I thought, is that Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys? But I'm guessing no, okay?
Maybe it was.
Maybe it was. And you're asking, yeah, I know I'm old, but I'm not Beach Boy old, right? But my mother liked Beach Boys. Okay, so here we go. A man named Brian Wilson was working the late shift one night at a local pizza parlor when a pair of rather small adults who had a somewhat lopsided look about them approached the counter, raised their right hands, and announced, get ready for this, "Hi, we're Americans." I'm like, So Brian goes, "Well, what would you like?" They countered with, "What do you make?" So he was kind of puzzled. He looks around. He's like, "Pizzas." The little alleged tiny Americans said, "What are pizzas?" The couple watched Brian intently.
How could Americans not know what
this
pizza is?
You get a load of this. The couple watched Brian intently as he prepared two cheese and tomato pizzas. All the while, the male kept looking around the shop like he had never been in a pizza parlor ever before. And the female pointed to a bowl of green peppers and asked what they were. By now, Brian's colleague, Doug. So Doug had also noticed that there was something rather odd about the pair, and the two chefs exchanged glances of disbelief as Brian carefully explained what a pepper was. "Do they taste nice?" wondered the female. As the pair waited in silence for their pizzas, complete with green peppers, to cook, other customers came in and out of the shop as usual. Once their order was ready, the extraordinarily small Americans settled their bill. Each took a single bite out of their pizza, threw the remainder into the bin outside the shop. Brian entertained a suspicion that his visitors may have literally been from another planet. And this is a quote. It says, "I've read stories on the subject of aliens masquerading as human beings." He told investigators, "These two individuals came across as acting as human, but not doing a very good job of it." So two alien grays come in, make themselves out to look literally like hobbits.
Yeah, right.
Declare they're Americans. Why you would even come in and declare all that stuff in Scotland? So they obviously know about countries. They know about all of this stuff. They didn't just randomly pop in on this planet and make something up. We are from France.
Yeah. Well, you know, it reminds me of a lot of the like MIB stories where it's like they look like men, but there's something off about them.
Yes.
Like their mannerisms. You offer them a drink. They don't seem to even know like what coffee is.
They have no clue.
You want something, they want Jello or something weird. Like they're just, everything about them is odd. And that was always the case. And is people claim that maybe these men in black are
alien themselves.
Yeah. Or some kind of hybrid or something.
I come in peace.
And another puzzling question is, how do they always know when someone sees something? Somebody can see a UFO, not tell anybody. The next morning they show up and be like, "Hey, be sure you don't tell anyone about this encounter.
Answer the door. Don't tell nobody."
So how the heck would they know? I don't know.
It's insane.
Speaking of insane, I've got some crazy black-eyed kid stories that I found while researching something for the show, which led me down a path. So I got a couple I'll probably share. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. We're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, you know how it is. Here at the Expanded Perspectives Library, we have lots and lots and lots of books. So after doing this show,
we got a problem with books.
13 years. Well, a lot of publishers used to send us books.
Yeah.
So, like a lot of these books, I haven't even cracked open yet.
I've read like pieces and excerpts and yes, thumb through them, but never got to go front to back on them.
Like this one about intuitive dance. Like we get all kinds of crazy ones.
You've read that one.
Yeah, of course. Cover to cover twice.
Cover to cover.
I donate them to those little book stands.
And also something, it was another one that she told me about, something about like your spiritual marriage, but I don't remember
your
what that was.
Spiritual marriage with aliens and
no,
how to
this
align
is with
your
you
chakra.
And your wife. Yeah. Dude, I walked in on Kyle aligning his chakra this weekend. Something you don't want to see. Something you don't want to see. All I can, I'll just leave it with this. You ever seen a dog get its anus gland milked? That's all I'm putting out there.
So while I was researching and going through some of these books, I came across Brad Steiger's, one of his books.
Yeah,
you know Brad Steiger.
Yeah.
And in his 2009 book, Real Vampires, Night Stalkers, and Creatures from the Dark Side.
Oh, no.
He references an incident of a group of black-eyed kids that was told to him. And so I'm going to share that today. It's pretty exciting. He says, it was probably the autumn in 2003 that people began to write to me describing their encounters with a strange group of boys, ranging from preteen to teenaged, who had coal black eyes in very strange and menacing ways. Now, the first report that I received proved almost to be a prototype of the accounts that would follow. Carter and his girlfriend Suzanne were double dating with their good friends Greg and Karen on a pleasant fall evening in Seattle when they encountered the very strange lost boys. Now, Carter remembered that they first saw them as they were leaving a seafood restaurant. He said there were four of them. They looked like a bunch of teenagers just lounging around the park near the restaurant on a Saturday night. They had no school the next day, no dates, nothing to do. They looked like they were just hanging out. Now, Carter opened the car door for Suzanne and walked around to the driver's side. As he was getting behind the wheel, Suzanne asked if he knew the boys in the park. No, is what he said, and wondered why she had even asked. She said, because one of them is waving, and I thought he called your name. Now, puzzled, Carter looked towards the park and saw that the group appeared to be coming towards the car. He said, I don't know any of them. He shrugged. Greg suggested that they leave. He said they might be a bunch of hoods trying to make trouble. Suzanne laughed and said that they were just kids, and that one of them had called Carter's name. Greg was insistent that they leave immediately. He said, kids like those very often carry guns and rob people. Let's get out of here. Now, Carter thought that Greg's assessment of the situation made perfect sense. Cam, we had a similar experience in Memphis. He said the teens must have heard Carter's name when the couples left the restaurant and one of them called his name to gain proximity for a robbery. He had heard that it was a common ploy for criminals, whatever their ages, to attempt to deceive their victims with a sense of familiarity. He says, as I backed out of the parking space, this is what Carter said, I made eye contact with a boy who appeared to be their leader. I wish that I had not done so. His eyes were like black marbles. When I glanced at the other boys, they too seemed to have no ordinary pupils, just black marbles for eyes. I felt a shiver run through me, and I burned rubber leaving the parking lot. Now, Greg asked if Carter had spotted any guns or weapons on those kids. No weapons, Carter answered. But he said, did you see their eyes? They were solid black. Now, Suzanne laughed and said that the kids were all trying to be cool and wearing sunglasses at twilight, probably. They all want to be hip-hop rock stars or something. And Karen agreed. Her brother was always wearing shades, trying to appear cool. Their mother was always on him about warning him that he would ruin his eyes. So the two couples went to a recently released film that they had all wanted to see. Carter said that the four of them were cheerily engaged in a mock intellectual debate over the quality of the film when he spotted the same four teenagers leaning against the wall of a Chinese restaurant across the street. When he directed it to his friends, he got the attention of the group. They voiced the same question almost in unison. How did they get here? How did they know what movie that we were going to see? The four boys waved at them in an exaggerated gesture of friendliness. They all wore broad smiles. One of them asked how they enjoyed the film. Greg wanted to know how the kids had been able to trail them. Did anyone notice that they had a car when they first spotted them as they came out of the restaurant? Did anyone notice that they were being followed? Even Suzanne's cheerfulness had diminished. And she expressed in her opinion that we should get out of here and we should do it fast. Carter says, as I looked at the four teenagers leaning against the wall, I couldn't help thinking of Kiefer Sutherland and his vampire gang in the old movie The Lost Boys. He says we got in the car as soon as possible, and I drove to one of our favorite watering holes on the edge of the city. I was determined to get as far away from the teenage terrors as possible. Greg kept a lookout in the back seat all the way to the bar to see that they weren't being followed. Although Carter said that it may seem beyond all belief, when they left the bar at 1 a.m, the four teenagers were lounging on the curb across the street. To say that they were unnerved at this point is to make the understatement of the year, Carter said. Greg wanted to call the cops. Suzanne wanted to go straight home. Karen accused Greg and me of arranging a hoax in order to frighten us girls. She insisted that one of us had the most stupid sense of humor in the world and that we had set up the whole thing. One of us had given the teenagers our itinerary for the evening. It was all just a big stupid joke, but the worst one that she's ever heard of. After 20 minutes of Carter and Greg vowing that the Lost Boys had not been their idea of a joke and that they had no explanation for the bizarre events of the evening, Carter dropped Greg and Karen off at their respective apartments, and he and Suzanne headed home. Suzanne knew that the appearance of the boys and their subsequent stalking of the group of friends was not a joke. She was frightened and said very little on the drive back to their apartment. We had not been home for more than a few minutes, Carter said, when someone rang the doorbell. Now, we live on the first floor, and the steps lead from the street right up to our door. I looked out the peephole knowing exactly what I was going to see. It was the Lost Boys, their black eyes reflecting the light from the street. The one I determined to be their leader was leaning on the door. The other three were sprawled on the steps. Carter said he grabbed a baseball bat and asked through the door, "What do you want?" Suzanne clutched his sleeve, insisting that he do not open the door. The leader of the group asked Carter to open the door. Carter replied that that wasn't going to happen and told him to leave before I call the cops. He said, I need to make a telephone call. That's what the leader said. Can I use your phone? I'll be real quick. Just one call. We need to have someone come and pick us up. No, is what I replied. Next, they started pleading, we need to use the bathroom. Please let us come in and use your bathroom. We really have to go bad. Please open the door. We won't make any mess. Just in and out, okay? Again, Carter replied with no. Next, they said, can you give us something to eat? We haven't eaten all day. We're starving. Can't you spare us a little food? No, is what Carter replied. Come on, we are really hungry. Let us in. Give us just a little snack, please. The leader's voice was becoming louder and more insistent. Then the other three joined in, almost chanting their demands that they be allowed to come in and get something to eat. Carter was unaware that Suzanne had already called the police. And after the black-eyed Lost Boys had begun asking to be allowed inside, as the squad car came around the block, the boys simply disappeared. They vanished in the blink of an eye. All we could tell the police officers is that a gang of rowdy teenagers had been pounding on our door, but they ran away when they heard the squad car coming. When the officers asked for descriptions, we gave accurate descriptions, except for the solid black eyes. Carter grabbed a baseball bat and asked through the door what they wanted. Suzanne clutched his sleeve and says that he not open the door. That's what we told the cops. We told everybody exactly what happened. And Brad Steiger in his book goes on to say, since I received Carter's remarkable account in 2003, men and women have been reporting similar encounters with the Lost Boys with the black eyes all over the world. On a number of occasions, witnesses have also reported encounters with black-eyed adults. And at this point, no one knows for certain who these beings are. Now, Cam, you and I, we've discussed black-eyed kids numerous times on the show. Nick Redfern wrote a book on it. Nick Redfern wrote a book about female black-eyed people. And Nick Redfern told us about not a black-eyed person, but a Men in Black situation he had at an airport. So,
well, and the strangest part about all the black-eyed kid stuff is we know it was written by a Texas journalist. I want to say his name was Brian. It's Brian something or other. And he first wrote about it. And it turns out he claims that it was all fiction. that what he originally wrote about it was all just for fiction. It was no big deal. The problem with it is like everything else. A lot of people talk about it being fiction. You pump it out there and either everybody that's ever made a black-eyed kid claim is full of crap, or there really is something that was listening and built upon that as you put that evil out into the world or whatever it was. It's like a tulpa that we talked about, or the fellow wasn't telling the truth when he actually wrote it. It wasn't that he was making it up. It was real. He just wanted to say he was making it up so people didn't judge him.
That's right.
It's so much easier to say, oh, this is all make-believe. What do you think about this? And actually tell your real story than it is to tell everybody and insist you had something happen.
Right. And so there's lots of theories on what they are. Are they aliens, you know, attempting to look like humans?
Yeah.
Are they demonic possessions? Are they demons manifesting themselves like jinn or something like that to look like that? I mean, let's not forget the Slender Man was invented too. Mm-hmm. It was like a creepypasta, but then it went on to not only inspire real girls to murder one of their friends, but it went on to people started to claim to see it, like and you're talking about.
We still, of course, it there was probably a lot of it because it got so much publicity when it first hit that there was a lot of stories come out. So I'm sure a lot of those were not true. But we still get time to time people claiming they see something that fits the bill of Slender Man. And we're not even so sure that these pale crawlers aren't in some way involved in it when you get these crazy stories.
It is. It's wild.
It's really, really wild.
I got some more here. So check this out.
Keep coming. I like it.
I said this happened a couple years ago. I was going into work alone. It was 4 a.m. in the morning and no one was in the parking lot but me. So I'm about to get out of my car and go into my building. But first I bend down to get my cell phone charger. When I look back up, there's a teenage girl that's on my driver's side window, and a small boy is on the passenger side. The girl is wearing a tank top that has a really pale skin and stringy blonde hair. The little boy, his hair was shaved off. She says, "Excuse me, sir, but we need a ride down the block to my mom's house. If we walk, she'll be angry." Now the boy looks emotionless and is unblinking. I get the weird feeling in my stomach saying, "Don't do it." And I say, "Well, I'm sorry, but I need to go to work. But here's money for a cab." She says, "We don't want your money, sir. We want a ride." I blink and I look down at my phone as it suddenly rang, then hung up. The kid's eyes were as black as night. My heart was pounding. I think, crap, these kids are the ones people are talking about that kill people. So I say with some authority, "No, you take the money and you go away." As I reach for some ones in my ashtray and look up at the kids, they're gone. Now, it's a big parking lot. I would have seen them if they had run off. I even drive around the parking lot and the building. I don't see any kids. I even drove around the empty block they claimed to live on, and there was no one there. Needless to say, I waited until the sun came up to get up and go into work that day. Dave.
Dude.
So in the middle of a parking lot, it's like they just appeared. They try to get you to fall for their ploy. And if it doesn't work, they can't. The gig's up. It's kind of like, it reminds me a lot of like a vampire, right? Like it can't come in your house unless you give it permission.
Colin Robinson. It's an energy vampire.
Once you give it permission, then the vampire can come in your home.
Yeah.
Here's another one. It was about 13 years ago. It was November 2012 when I was working at a small gas station in Northeast Louisiana. We were the only small shop and 24-hour service station in for miles. We were just off the highway. I worked the night shift. I loved it. The sharing of stories with the traveling customers. That is when the rare customer showed up. It must have been around 3 in the morning. I was cleaning the floors and locking the beer coolers when suddenly the lights went out. I pulled out my cell phone and used it as a guiding light until I made it back to the counter where I kicked on the gas generator. It lit the parking lot up and the bath in the hall leading to the register. When I looked outside, I could just make out movement in the trees across from the street. But otherwise, it was pitch black out. I turned on the radio and started listening to a local station with its night owl DJ, commenting on the heavy winds and cracking jokes between songs. Suddenly, I saw some figures in the dark. I could just barely make them out. They seemed to be a group of kids on bikes. There were 3 of them. Two of them dropped their bikes and made their way to the door where they just stood staring at me. I just stared back for a moment, waiting for them to come in, but they never did. I moved around the counter and opened the door. I said, "What's up, guys? Out kind of late, aren't you?" I asked them, expecting them to come in. All they said was, "Can we use your phone?" one of them asked. Their heads tilted kind of low. I felt a little worried as I pulled my cell phone from my pocket and offered it to her. "Sure," I said. She looked at me, and then I saw her eyes. They were solid black, almost like ink-filled orbs. "No, I need the real one," she said. Her face was twisted into an angry snarl. I pulled the door closed and flipped the locks. "No, no, ma'am, you go home and get your mom's phone," that's what I said. They stared at me right through the door for a minute longer before turning away and biking off. Now, the next day I had my boss check on the cameras to get the pictures of the creepy kids, but the cameras had been off the whole time. Now, the cameras run off the generator instead of the hall lights. I never saw those kids again, and I never want to. Charles. So
they're trying.
2012, why would they want to use a real phone? They wanted a landline. They didn't want a cell phone.
Well, in every story, it's almost that way, right? It's like you're telling me kids nowadays wouldn't have a phone.
Well, that's the thing, is because they don't really want the phone. They want in there.
Exactly.
I wonder, dude, why do they have to come into the building now? Why couldn't they do something to you outside?
They just drain you on the street?
Yeah.
Well, what was the story that we got where it was the fella's wife let him in? Remember? Or it was she let him in, and it was the mom. The mom had let him in or something. Remember, they'd found her dead in her backyard, like sitting in her chair.
Yeah.
All of that. And there was nothing had ever happened to her. But she had talked about, they're here, these kids, they're supposed to come back. She ended up letting them in or something. And it was one of those deals. Like, I don't know what it could possibly be.
They found her dead, right?
Yeah.
So, like, somebody, he was on the phone with his mother, and he could hear her letting kids in or something like that.
It was something on the lines like she had told him, and he was like, "Don't do it." And she's like, "Oh, they're fine," or "They need help," or whatever it was. And then when he couldn't raise her or something, go over there. And it didn't, there was nothing nefarious, nothing of any of that. It was just like her sitting in her backyard, like she'd been outside working in the flowers or whatnot. And then that was it.
Yeah. So, don't let them in, folks.
Keep the black-eyed kids away.
I know that, you know, they sell those contacts, but
yeah,
you know,
that's the best way to get teep kicked.
I was going to say, it's not a good idea to play those kind of pranks. I know there are guys that are internet famous for pulling stupid pranks, and a couple of them have been shot.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't joke with people like that.
No. It's not good. No, yeah, you know? It's not good to keep playing on that.
I've got more here.
It says, yeah, all right, let's do it, because it's not like I'm not creeped out enough.
You're going to like this one because it's kind of close to home.
Oh, great.
We live in a neighborhood in a small family house in Arlington, Texas.
Here we go.
My brother is a firefighter. No, I'm not. This isn't the story. This is me, Kyle, saying this. Oh, my brother, Matt Filson, is a firefighter in Arlington, Texas.
He's known as LP?
Yeah, so it's really close to home. Arlington,
that stands for Little Filson.
Arlington, if you don't know, is like in between Fort Worth and Dallas. Anyways, it says, every year we have from about 40 to 60 trick-or-treaters at our door on Halloween night. They usually consist of small children accompanied by adults, older children in groups, and teenagers who can't seem to give up their childhood fun. Sometimes the teens don't even bother to wear costumes. When they do that, I don't give them any candy. Halloween night in 2011 was as busy as I ever can remember on our street. At one point, I answered the doorbell to a large group of kids of various ages. Two of the tallest ones were dressed in rather flashy costumes. I remember nylon net, glitter, sequins, and garnish makeup.
And that's how I met your mother, folks.
I don't remember if they were both girls or if one was a boy. I always pay attention and compliment the kids on their costumes. When I looked at the eyes of the teenagers, I was really taken aback. The entire visible eyeballs were a shiny coal black. I turned to them and I told them that they had great costumes, and I think I asked if those things hurt their eyes or not. I naturally assumed they were wearing contact lenses covering their entire eye surface, but I got no answer to my question. They just sort of smiled. Maybe they just didn't want to converse with an elderly grandmother type. I don't know. Even if I got to thank you from the candy from them for the candy from them or not. I closed the door before the mass of kids left the porch. So I don't know if the two teens went off by themselves or with some of the other younger kids. I remember mentioning to my husband that some teens were wearing what looked like painful contact lenses, and I don't think about the incident until you told me about black-eyed children. Wow. Or not a wow. Were they hybrids, or were they just a really cool costume that these teenagers were wearing? I tend to believe the latter, at least I tell myself that, because I don't want to think I actually had an encounter with real black-eyed kids. Wow. So, close to home.
Enough already with the
close thing with
to
this
home.
One, though, as even she admits, it was Halloween. It could have been people, kids wearing contacts.
Yeah.
It
oh,
very
yeah.
well could be. Because people know of the stories, like you're talking about Slender Man, BEKs and stuff. Maybe that's what the kids were dressing as.
If I was going to be a black-eyed kid, I think I'd be out on Halloween, too. Right? You're less likely to be noticed.
That would be a perfect time, right?
What was it? Wasn't it in Halloween? Isn't that when E.T., when they bring him out and he's dressed like the grandmother or whatnot, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
It's on Halloween, so nobody really knows, right? It works perfect.
I got another one here for you.
All right, here we go.
It says, I have one experience with black-eyed kids. I was on vacation with my parents a long time ago. I was a kid back then, and it was very late at night. I had just gotten back to the hotel, but wanted to go back downstairs and kill some time in the arcade and decided to take an elevator. What happened next was one of the most confusing, terrifying experiences of my life. I get in and go down in the elevator. As it gets closer to the bottom floor, I suddenly feel terror that I've never felt before in my life. The feeling was so specific. The door opens and standing in front of me are two kids with huge, pitch black eyes staring at me. One kid looked a bit older than the other and was a little taller. They were both wearing some average looking clothes. They said nothing, but they were beyond threatening. I mean, I would have rather the door opened to someone holding a gun to my face than these creatures with the feeling they gave off. I was in shock for a second and immediately closed the door and got back up as fast as I could. My little brain was a mix of traumatized and highly confused at what had just happened. Needless to say, I never used the elevator alone or went into the hotel arcade late at night ever again. This happened before I even knew that other people had encountered them. I didn't even have a decent internet at the time. I never saw one outside of a dream ever again. It usually presented itself as a young girl with long black. I guess he's had some dreams about it sometimes. But anyways, he's like, I never had an encounter again, but I saw it for sure. IF.
That's not cool.
So in a hotel.
Yeah, it's like it's following him.
Yeah, and I got another one. So this was August of 2017. I just graduated about a week prior from college. You know, I was taking summer classes. And as part of my graduation gift, my parents and grandparents went in together to buy me a flight to Rome. Now, I'm a major history buff, so I've always wanted to go to Europe and Rome and Italy especially. One of my friends also went along with me. I'll call him Caleb so I don't have to type out my friend a dozen of times or use his real name. So anyways, as both Caleb and I, recent college grads, we didn't exactly have a ton of money to spend on vacation, so we stayed in the area of Rome by Termini in a budget hotel. I'm assuming that's correct. I don't know. Cam is the master of pronunciation, not me.
I am the king of pronunciation. I don't even know how to pronounce that.
So before I proceed, a few things about Rome, because there were some misconceptions I had before going.
There were Romans there.
The first is that Rome is dirty and just feels sketchy. Because of this, you instinctively are looking over your shoulder, and I just felt paranoid. The area that Caleb and I stayed at was near Termini. This is the main train and bus hub of the city. While it was a super convenient location, less than a 5-minute walk, and we could access the metro or bus to anywhere in the city or across city, the area just felt run down with graffiti all over it. I mean, more than usual than Rome. The other thing you should know is that Romans like to eat long meals and eat very late, whereas back here in the U.S., I typically eat dinner around 5:30 p.m. and generally are definitely finished by 7:30. Some of the restaurants in Rome don't even open till 7 p.m., which leads to you being out a lot later than you had intended. So one evening after dinner, it was probably about 9:30 or so, Caleb and I were leaving the restaurant to the metro station to head back to Termini, when we noticed two children had been following us. Now you hear online that a lot of scammers use children to distract you, so I put my hand in my pocket around my wallet and walked a little bit faster. Both of the kids were probably around 10 or 12 if I had to guess. The lighting wasn't the greatest and the sun had set, but they were dressed in dark clothing. Whether it was black or brown or even maroon, I couldn't really tell at the time. One was a boy and one was a girl. The boy had a very short haircut, only slightly longer than a buzz cut, whereas the girl was wearing a beret, dark colored, and had long, slightly curly hair. So like in one of the previous stories I read, the boy had a shaved head and the girl had long hair. Again, in a different country,
yeah.
The boy has almost a shaven head and the girl has long hair. I don't know. That's just
it's
a
strange.
Weird thing that's similar, right?
Yes.
It says, I felt a bit of unease because something didn't seem normal. At the time, I didn't think anything paranormal, but was worried about being mugged or pickpocketed. Anyways, eventually I stopped hearing their footsteps behind me, and when I looked back, I didn't see them anymore. The metro ride back to Termini was uneventful. I didn't particularly look for the children, but I didn't notice them if they were around. Once at Termini, it was only a couple of minutes to the hotel. Despite it being rather dark, Rome doesn't seem to have adequate street lighting for a city that eats so late, nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary. Anyways, I went to my room and Caleb went to his. At this time, it was probably around 10 at night. So I go to take a shower before bed, and midway through my shower, I hear what I think sounds like a knock at my door. I don't think a whole lot about it. This is a cheap hotel, and I doubt that it's soundproof enough that someone standing outside my door couldn't hear the shower running. So 2 minutes pass, and I don't hear any more knocking, and I finish my shower. I put on some sweatpants, a t-shirt, and look out the peephole, and I see the two children from earlier just standing there. Now, the peephole distorts things, so I really didn't think I saw what I saw, but let me try to describe what I saw. The boy was wearing a maroon button-down shirt with brown pants. He had black hair just barely longer than a buzz cut, but what stood out was his white skin. Now, maybe it was the lighting in the hall, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone with this white of skin. And his female companion, it was almost as if someone had painted their skin white. That's how white they looked. It was very hard to describe without seeing it. It looked almost bloodless. There was just no warmth to it. His eyes looked to be solid black, almost as if someone was squinting in their eyes, looked that they weren't there. It wasn't like someone had colored contact lenses at all. It was a very, very strange thing to see if you've ever seen it. The girl was standing behind the boy, so I didn't get as good of a look at her as I did him, but she had very dark brown hair, clearly different than the color of the boy's hair, and it was curly. She was wearing a black beret and a black dress. She had the same weird artificial-looking white skin and the same eyes that looked like someone was squinting. Now, at this point, I was freaking out a bit. The hotel required a key card to operate the elevator to get to the second story, where my room was, which made it rather odd that some random kid, who we never did see with any parents, would follow myself and Caleb halfway across Rome and end up in the same hotel, on the same floor, and randomly knock on my door. And not just knock, but knock and stand there for at least a couple of minutes. I didn't say anything to indicate that I'd be coming to the door. At this point, I double-checked the chain lock to make sure that it was secure, but I think the kids must have thought I was going to open the door when I heard the boy's voice, or at least I assume it was the boy's voice, as it clearly didn't sound feminine, say, "Aren't you going to let us in? We're lost." Now, prior to hearing about black-eyed kids, I thought this was the creepiest part of it, because after 4 days of being in Rome, outside of Caleb, pretty much everyone did not speak good English. And the ones that did speak decent English had a very clear accent of some sort. This didn't happen with the kids. They clearly had an English or American English accent. It sounded like they were from the States. So I decided I had enough, and I didn't make a sound, and I went to bed. I must have sat there waiting for an hour or so, trying not to make any noise or make any indication that I was in the room, hoping that they'd just get bored and decide to leave. Hopefully, I kept thinking, hopefully this is just a prank or a scam, but I wasn't going to have an effect on me. I decided against texting Caleb about it. After all, I was probably just paranoid about nothing, and it was just me being nervous of being 5,000 miles away from home, mixed with what I probably would have considered rather funny or mildly annoying rather than scary if it were back in the U.S., Courtney. Mm-mm. So, mm-mm. They followed him all over Rome, just like they do in the other stories, the Lost Boy stories. And they speak to him, but they speak to him in English, then it sounds like they're from the States. I mean, that's the first thing. You're in Italy. Why wouldn't they ask to open the door in Italy?
Exactly. Unless they knew you.
I think they do. I don't know if it's demonic possession. I don't know if you're playing with a spirit board and things get out of hand.
How do they know?
I don't know why they seem to haunt certain people and others are oblivious. There's even been cases where people saw the black-eyed kids and their partner or whoever they were with saw the same kids and was like, well, I didn't see that. Eyes didn't look black to me.
It's almost like that they can, when they sort you out, they realize like, oh, this person knows or this person, you know, because like we always like, but we don't see anything. We may have walked by and we'd have never known it. They'd have killed me years ago.
No, I lose my keys probably 3 times a week.
I'm just like, I don't care about these black-eyed kids. But maybe if you're tuned into it, they can feel it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's the same. To me, it almost feels like the same as with them noticing and then locking in on you. It's like when you notice the machine elves, right? Like we were talking about, and they notice you and they're like, oh, he can see me. And then you got to, they take off. These are the opposite. They see, oh, he can see me. And then they just focus in on you like, oh, this is one we can get.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's take a break, folks. When we get back from the break, I'm sure Cam has a story you'd like to share.
Oh, I got some stuff I need to share with you before we get done.
You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
And we're back. Now I'm going to drop
a jewel.
A jewel. I'm going to drop some crazy jewel on you. Actually, I got a couple shorties here I'm going to hit you with.
Okay.
One of them is pretty interesting. I'm going to go ahead and drop this one on you. This took place in Sorrento, BC in Canada back on May 18th of 2000. All right. This took place at 10:30 at night. The witness was walking his dog along Mackenzie Road when he noticed an orange-red glow at the end of the road. No big deal, right? Maybe somebody's parked there, tail lights. No biggie. He shone his flashlight at it, and an object began to rise. Never a good thing when you're out just strolling down Mackenzie Road or any road, to be honest. Says the object was described as spherical, approximately 1.5 to 2 feet in diameter, and about 1 to 1.5 foot high. The orange glow formed a band around the middle, extending to the outer edges of said sphere. The sphere appeared to have two black or dark half moons on the top and bottom. There were two connecting sections between the top and bottom. The craft ascended quickly at a steep angle. As it was nearly past the witness, he shone the flashlight at it, and it vanished. But when the witness arrived home, his dog barked continuously, running back and forth. The witness then looked around, didn't see anything. 2 days later, he recalled that when he first shone his flashlight at the sphere, he saw a pair of green eyes set fairly far apart and below the sphere. He then remembered seeing a dark figure that seemed to be crawling away from the glowing sphere. It appeared to be on its knees and elbows and struggling to move, almost dragging its feet. The head was above the arms, but the witness did not shine his light on it, nor did he see any other features. I tell you that because of this. Makes me think that a few days after is when it came back that maybe he was abducted.
Yeah, possibly.
You start seeing stuff like that, it's like, well, you didn't notice something dragging itself away right then, and you chose not to shine the light on. It's like, maybe something got you.
Well, and there's a lot of cases of spheres or orbs being associated with sightings of Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
It's always theorized that, like, that's a UFO. It let Bigfoot out to use the restroom.
Dropped him off.
Or dropped him off, you know, like people
do
with their
dogs. This is where it dumps them.
And that's what happened, right. Or there's a Bigfoot. Is the Bigfoot piloting the orb? Like it could shrink down in size.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know, I don't know.
That would be cool. But I've got one more here before we wrap up the day. I got one that just for you. Along the Zimbabwe River, there was a mermaid observed.
Oh, I love mermaid
stories. Right, we're getting into these stories.
It's something that I want to be real.
Oh, me too. So bad. Charmwood, Zimbabwe, January 2007. Marco Batu was walking from Chorora Shopping Center as he approached the Hunyani River.
Sure.
And he saw what appeared.
I booked a fishing trip there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't wait.
You're fishing for white women, because that's what it says. He saw what appeared to be a white woman basking in the sun and sitting on a rock, half immersed in a pool of water. The woman was naked, and Marco was surprised at this. Marco!
Polo!
That's right. Says, then he noticed that what he initially thought to be her leg, drawn up on the rock, was actually a scaled fishtail. The woman didn't notice him at first until he deliberately made a noise while walking on the gravel to get closer, and in an instant, she disappeared into the water. A few days later, his curiosity aroused, and Marco took the same route home. And to his amazement, the woman was there, basking on the rock again, like a turtle in a tank. But not only that, this time there was laundry laid out on some stones to dry, with some draped over the bushes nearby. Unfortunately, in his astonishment and perhaps some fear, he did not see what type of washing it was, whether clothing or merely pieces of cloth. Now again, Marco drew nearer to get a closer view. Suddenly, the woman became aware of him, looked at him as though admonishing him. The next thing, she disappeared into the water.
Now, because he keeps staring at her. Right? He's being rude.
Now, the following week, Marco deliberately took this rather isolated shortcut home. Immediately, when he reached the pool in the river, he saw the same creature there. Only this time, she was holding a baby in her arms and giving it a bath. Now, it's kind of like, do you give a fish a bath? Come on now. Still puzzled by what he was seeing, Marco tried to draw closer.
Marco sounds like a creep, man. He keeps trying to find this lady.
Keep your comments to yourself. I'm looking at this merm woman. But the moment the woman heard his footsteps on the gravel, she and the baby disappeared into the water together. So, is this a water spirit? This is what I've got.
Well, I'm saying? Because first of all, Zimbabwe is landlocked. It's not like it doesn't touch the ocean.
Right.
It used to be Rhodesia.
It has to be water spirit of some kind.
That's what I'm thinking.
It has to be.
Water spirit.
Yeah.
Very
cool.
Only
thing it can be. So
I love stories of mermaids, though. I really do.
And what makes this one so unique is its location. It's not supposed to be there at all. Water spirit.
Have you seen the videos on like YouTube where you can hear them recording the sounds of mermaids like way out in the middle of the ocean?
Allegedly.
I don't know that it's real. I'm saying, but have you heard those?
I have heard that, where it's like they're filming and it's almost like it's beside them.
Yeah.
Like they're just out of the light. Now, whether or not it's real, I don't know, but it's just another reason for me not to go on the ocean.
Oh, well, that's cool. Cool story. If you have any cool stories you want to share with me and Cam and the listeners, do not hesitate. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline 888-393-2783.
Word.
That's 888-393-BRUD. Let's not forget about our sponsors. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/expanded to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today.
Get your health under control, people.
That's ZocDoc.com/expanded. Cam, I know we got some bad weather coming this evening, but other than that, you got anything planned for this week?
Nothing planned. Like, nothing nailed down.
Well, that's good.
Nothing. Yeah. I got a few things I need to get taken care of, but nothing. Waiting to see what happens here, what I've got to repair after it gets all beat to pieces.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Are you going to the rodeo?
Absolutely not. I haven't been out there in years.
Yeah. When you grow up around it, it's kind of like, yeah, seen it enough.
It's the same thing. It's enough. It's the deal. Although they got some good cowboys that are going to be coming out there this year, but I doubt it. Look, it used to be in July when it was super, super hot. They moved it, but it used to be what it is now. I'm talking decades ago. They moved it into the heat. Now they moved it back to where it is. It's a lot better now, but you know they're going to get rained on at least once.
Well, I was going to say, like, I don't really care. But I like bull riding, but that's about it. I'd like to go to watch it in Dickey's Arena where it's air conditioned.
If you're going
to
go watch, you know, go watch the PBR where there's AC.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the World Championships the AC.
Yeah, I want to go see it. Look, I love Dickey's Arena over there. That place is perfect.
It is pretty cool.
Perfect.
We need to go to a gun show.
Okay.
And we need to go to the Texas Trophy Hunters in August. We haven't been in like 20 years.
Dude, all right.
Just
we're down.
To see it. I just want to see all the what's changed.
I haven't been to a gun show in forever either. If we go, we can't take money.
Oh, that, no, that's I have to take money. I have to come
hung
home
him
with
up.
Something. Anyways, folks, I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.